Well, I'd like to really move on from what the Lord was giving us last week, and probably many times in the preaching and teaching it is evolving, if you like. There's a great harmony from one sermon from one week to the next. But sometimes the Lord does give a sort of different title. But this morning I am impressed the Lord would have us to talk about don't lose heart in prayer. Don't lose heart in prayer. I've become conscious from the Lord that some of us in the body are not praying like we used to. There was a zeal some years back for prayer, but in time we found that we become maybe a little indifferent. Other things have captured our minds or imaginations, or we've got extremely busy and we've addressed that. They're just the accumulations of life that just gradually get in and begin to take our mind, our attention away from the important things. And Jesus said that my house will be a house of prayer, and was of course addressing that of the money lenders and traders in his church as he went in. You remember the house of God, I should say, the temple, and he went in with that anger, a righteous anger, and cast them out because they had defiled what the house of God really was meant to be. The house of God is actually a place of offering in its concept, its idea. We offer to God. We offer not only praise, worship, we offer prayers, intercessions, supplications. We pray. It is a manifestation of prayer. It is a way of prayer. It is a vocalizing before God. Even our songs, our choruses are, in a sense, prayer. Much of what we sing in them, those promises of, and God protecting us and guiding us and leading us, blessing us and so forth, there's still an expression of prayer, of vocalizing before God. And of course, God says he inhabits that. He inhabits the praises. He inhabits the prayers. He inhabits our confession, our exhortation. He inhabits that. And very often we find in the meeting that when the Holy Spirit is moving and blessing, and, you know, saints are exhorting, encouraging, or coming out with a psalm, a hymn, or a prayer, or a burden to pray, or an intercession, whatever, we find that not only does God inhabit that, is blessed by that, but we also are caught up in that. We call that the anointing, the moving of the Spirit. That's what it's about. It's meaning that God is in that. He's acknowledging that. He's blessed by that. And so he draws you into that because he uses you and I as an expression of himself. If we want to see the Father's love, then the only way I can say is you'll see it in the house of God. And that's where it should be. If you want to see his long suffering, his gentleness, come to the house of God. That is where you will see Jesus reveal himself of the Father's love. They said, show us the Father. He said, have you been so long with me that you've not known? When you see me, you see the Father. And so that revelation of God is extended on. It's now put into you and me, into the house of God. We are the house of God. We are the church. And if people do not see the Father's love in the church, in you and I, they will not see it anywhere else. And so that is how he manifests himself. Can you not see that you too are an extension of that? You are a type of showing God. You are a revelation to the world. That is why you are the light of the world as well. You are a light, not the light, but a light. And we take that light each day. And so as we come together and we worship, so God is manifesting himself through us. I believe by faith, and I trust you with me and praying for this ministry and behind me, that God is manifesting himself through me to speak to you by the Spirit. So he says to us this morning what he wants us to hear. Don't lose heart in the area of prayer. Now, today this great emphasis about worship. You know, the sacrifice of worship and praise. And churches today want to worship, but sadly they move into that realm of entertainment. But I do not hear much about them saying that my house is to be a house of prayer. I don't ever hear that one often said. But that is really the emphasis that Jesus gave. That is the emphasis he gives today. And so we really cannot, we can only go as far as we are prepared to pray. Now, if you are frustrated or you are aware that things need to be developed further in this assembly, and I'm not saying we're there, then we only go as far as we are prepared to pray and intercede. If you see a need or we are lacking in an area, that it will only ever come as a result of prayer. It won't come any other way. That is what Jesus showed. And the second point is that because he says my house is a house of prayer, it is wrong to leave prayer to just a few. Well, I know they're faithful. I know they do it. So, you know, you ride upon them. That is not what it's about. We are supposed to be the house of God. And so it is a corporal thing. Now, it may not always be possible that people could get to a location where we get together to pray. But it's a good, healthy thing to know what in our prayer meetings we have, what is being prayed about. So that you too, if you cannot physically be there, you could at least take it in prayer and pray. And join in spirit with those that are praying for this church and for its future and what God is saying and saying over it. That is important. Because I am convinced, unless we pray as a church, we'll never really know what God is highlighting and what he's really wanting to do with this church. You don't really get the overall sensitivity. You do not get it enough from just the word. Now, of course, we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. But if we're hearing today what he's saying, he's showing us that also to know what God is doing corporately over this assembly, it does require saints to pray with it. That is important. Actually, that is almost common sense, to be honest. Now, this losing heart in prayer. I am not about to say that prayer is easy. Prayer is probably the area that challenges the Christian, the believer. And we all of us have fallen short of God's standard that he looks for with regard to prayer. We are all of us aware, and we have gone through trials, testings, where we have seen the enemy hindering our prayers, attacking us in the area of prayer. In fact, I've heard you say, and I know from my experience, if you want to see the enemy's attack, he'd probably attack you more in that than anything else. Yeah. That's where he's more visible. He's more vocal. So with that, bearing that in mind, why? because it's one of the most powerful things. God is set in the church. All things are wrought by prayer. And so because Satan knows his overthrow finally is going to be as a result of praying saints, he is going to stop you from praying. And he'll do it in whatever way he can, in the most subtlest forms. And we've addressed some of those over the weeks. But what he will do is he'll just get you to lose heart. That's one of the ways he works. Very clever, just subtly works. It's not something that just happens overnight. It works over a season. And he works it in such a way so that you sort of mould into that situation. You mould into it. He's moulding you. Now, why is he moulding you? Because that is a counterfeit work of the moulding work of what God does with us. The parable of the potter and the clay. The potter moulds the vessel. Satan tries to come in and counterfeit that and gradually starts to try and mould you into his evil ways. And he tries to work that. Being like a serpent, a snake, he works quietly, subtly, behind the scenes. And so that is why God brings us under the word each week, under this anointing, so that God works with us. He exposes the powers of darkness so that we can make that choice in whom we wish to follow. So he's addressing this morning the fact, don't lose heart in prayer. And he's shown this by the parable of the persistent widow, because I'm convinced this is where the enemy tries to work. Let's turn, if we will, to Luke 18. Luke 18. And we'll take it up from verse 1. Luke 18, from verse 1. The parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And there is, of course, where I got the inspiration for the title of this sermon. Always, we always ought to pray and not lose heart. So the very fact that he raises this question, not to lose heart, shows that that is an area that saints can get attacked on. And probably most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. He then goes on to say, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith, or a faithful remnant on the earth? Very important parable, this. We notice first, in the parable, her situation. She's a widow, which implies it's hard for her. She has no husband. She's poor. And therefore her circumstances throw her desperately upon God. There's the desperation. You also were found in a poor, wretched, miserable state as well. And if you are reminded of that, and you know that, and you acknowledge that, then that makes you desperate. It throws you upon the mercy of God. Amen. That is the key to this. And so then this judge doesn't fear God, nor regard man. So in the natural, you'd look at that and say, well, I don't stand an earth of a chance. There's not an ounce of compassion in this man. He's an atheist. God, you know, go and knock on the door to somebody like that. That's the last thing in the natural I want to do. But he's a judge. She knows his position. She knows that he's got the power to do it. So she's going to say, well, whatever he is, he's an atheist, he's got a hard heart, whatever, I will wake him up. I won't give him any peace until he answers my request. Are we beginning to find out the tenacity of this woman? God loves that. We see this many times in Scripture, where God tests people, brings them right to the edge, but they're not going to give up. In fact, we're told that even the violent take the kingdom, and they take it by force. They're violent in their spiritual action in that sense. Why? Because of the desperation. And Satan tries to rob you from being desperate. Why? You're okay. You're fine. You have a meal each day on the table. You've got comfort. You've got heating. Okay, it may be a bit difficult, but at the end of the day, you know, you still are okay. It is not until God begins to make our nest prickly that we then begin to wake up and realize the plight and the state and the hour that we are in. There's something I'm noticing that God, even though we find with the parable of the 10 virgins, they slumber and sleep, yet within that slumbering, with the 5 wise, there's something that the Spirit works with us will not let us become too lazy. Because we procrastinate. We'll always put it to one side. We'll always do it tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. So this woman here is in a state. She's in the circumstances that she can't change. This has happened to her. And this is why God puts you in circumstances that is beyond you, that you can't control. You've tried to do every trick of the book, but you find your circumstances, you just can't control them. And there is a reason for that. And so because she persisted, and so eventually he gets up and says, I don't fear God, I don't fear this woman, I don't fear anything, but what I am tired is that she keeps persisting. In other words, she's getting on my nerves. And as a result, I let her have what she wants. And so the Lord says, you've heard all of that, then hear what the unjust just said. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Notice this word, the elect. You have to be elect, called from the foundation of the world. Shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find this faith, this desperation, this persistence? Will he find his house a house of prayer? Pressing in, not giving up, will not be denied. Will he find that? That's the question. So don't lose heart in prayer. We find also in Romans 12, verse 12, something again briefly here. In Romans 12, verse 12. And here it's in the context of us being those living sacrifices which we offer ourselves to God. And in it here he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuingly, steadfastly in prayer. Continually. In prayer. In other words, it means you are in that attitude, that mode of prayer. I'm ready. Every day I'm ready to pray. Every day I'm ready when the Spirit calls me, or if there's a need, or somebody has a prayer request, whatever I'm doing, I'm in that attitude of prayer. That is what it means. Because of course we know you cannot be physically in prayer 24 hours a day. That's humanly impossible. But what it really does mean is, it means I'm in that attitude to pray. Now, I know a little bit what this is about. I, at the moment, am being tested in this area, because I get phone calls on and off for prayer for somebody who's not part of this church, goes somewhere else, but she asks for prayer. And she'll ring any time of the day. And sometimes she'll just say, I can't talk now, just please get in prayer. And sometimes I think, don't you realise I have a life to live? I've just about eat a meal. Or I've got to go out, whatever it is. And I have soon learnt this persistence. And I think to myself, my flesh, well, why doesn't she pray? Where's her faith? You know, the old flesh comes up, wants to think, and I think, no, no. She obviously is in faith. There's a faith there, there's God believing, because she keeps coming to me and asking me to pray. So there must be a faith there to believe. And sometimes I get thinking, well, yes, she's relying on my faith. The Lord's put me right. The Lord's dealt with me. And what he's showing me is, am I in that attitude? Am I ready to pray? Or am I just going to get my mind in the way and my logic and hinder and so forth? And very often when I find I start to pray and get in the spirit, I find that actually it is legitimate. The Lord is behind it, you see. So whatever I'm doing, God is showing me I can pray. And sometimes it doesn't have to be long. Sometimes it's just offering up thanks or prayer or just praising the Lord for the victory. Or yes, going in tongues in the spirit. But that is what it means to be in that attitude of prayer. To be ready, because you don't know how and when the Lord's going to lead and guide, you see. And so that is important, to have that spirit about us. Ephesians 6. Again, I'm just highlighting what the scriptures, the principles of the word, show us with regard to prayer and not losing heart in prayer. Ephesians 6 and verses 18 to 19. Ephesians 6, 18 to 19. Of course, again, this is in the context of the whole armour of God that we put on. And in that, bearing that in mind, in verses 18, 19, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So right in that context where the Apostle Paul speaks about the Christian armour that you put on daily, he then goes on in that context of praying always in prayer and supplication. So that armour that you put on each day can only be effective and work if you continue to listen to what he says. And quite often I never hear this part mentioned. Praying always. Don't lose heart. Praying always, being in that place of prayer, being in that attitude of prayer, because that's all part of the armour. You can't separate any of it. Are you finding the armour isn't working that much as you thought it should be or could be? Well, it's because you're not in that attitude of prayer. You're not backing it with prayer. So he says, praying always with all prayer, supplication. So we supplicate, says in the Spirit, I love that, being watchful to this end, in all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. So we pray for the saints. We're praying one for another. For this walk that we're in. It makes us watchful. It makes us sensitive. It makes us sensitive to the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying. It makes you sensitive to your brother and sister. It helps you to understand how to pray for them by the Spirit, so that you don't judge in the outward, the carnal. For God sees in the heart, and he has to show you the heart. He has to show you that person. He has to show you what they're going through. You have to be touched with what they are going through. That is praying, you see. And we've all missed it. We have all been judgmental in what we think in our praying, and our prayers have not got heard. So he says here, it's a praying of supplication. It's a praying of being in that watchfulness. It's a praying of perseverance for all the saints. You have to persevere. You have to stay with it. You don't give up, because it seems to be going from bad to worse since you started praying. And very often that happens. I cannot tell you the times when we pray, or we pray for a situation, or we pray for a saint in the church there, and it goes, starts getting worse. I cannot tell you the times we've had that, but the deliverance comes by not losing heart. But being like that persistent widow, you are not going to take no for an answer till you see your brother, your sister free, or set free, or changed. That is the only way this church is ever going to survive and stand. It will be on the testimony of the saints' prayers. We can have the word. We can be blessed. We can have ministry. We're apostolic in that sense, in our outlook and anointing and this message that God has given. But remember the church at Ephesus that was apostolic. It left its first love. And I can probably guarantee with that they began to lose sight of prayer as well. It all goes part and parcel together. So here is Paul speaking with regard to the Christian's armoury. And not only that, but he himself brings himself. He says, pray for me, that I may have that boldness, that I will not give up, that an utterance for the preaching of the gospel may be there, that those doors that are impossible may be opened. That is what we should be praying. That should be our praying for the word that we are so enriched and blessed with week after week here. That this word isn't just for here, but it goes out. I'm just going to tell you something at the moment. We are attacked on a Tuesday night through the word going through the computer, through Pal Talk. I cannot tell you how the devil's just attacking on that. But that gives it all away, does it not? That is the point. Now, if you want to get in prayer, you want to start to take this message away, please get in prayer for that. That an utterance may be given. That a door may be opened. That Satan, he will not foul up and hinder through computer and technology. That word has recourse. There's no reason why it shouldn't. We've done every test we can. We've replaced things. And yet it still, in the natural, goes on. I am convinced this is what the Lord's testing us on. The Lord's allowing it. See, he used these things to wake us up. To wake us up. And Paul asked for it. And I'm asking for it. Because I know from here the word must still go forth in free course. Nearly every week in our prayer meeting we still press in. I won't give up on it. Because it's what God has shown me. So we must not lose heart with regard to these things, with regard to prayer. It's the same for your loved ones. I know that you're holding in there. Some of you may feel, oh, you know, it's just in the natural, it just looks hopeless. If anything, they've gone further away from God since I've started to believe, confess them, pray for them before God. It's getting worse. Well, what are you going to do? Are you still going to be like that widow Well, whatever the circumstances, whatever it is, I am still knocking because God has promised to save my loved ones. There you go. Some days you say, oh, but I pray. You know, I'm like a broken record. I bring it before God. I think he's heard it all before. Well, why? You've got the Spirit to pray. That's what you do. That's why you're baptized in tongues. I felt like that sometimes. I think, here I am again. If I've said this once, I've said it a million times. I'm not saying it anymore because the Spirit knows how to pray. You ask once and you thank after that. That's prayer. You don't keep asking. That's unbelief. Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's on the receiving. You believe. You now start thanking, praising God. And part of that thanking and praising God means you persevere and stay with it in prayer. In that prayerfulness until it's manifested. That is it. Well, taking this a step further, let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And so he says here in verse 6 of Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he doesn't want you anxious. Are you still battling anxiety? Does it still try to take over? Well, probably the fault lies with prayer. There's not the praying this should be. There's not the believing this should be. You've lost heart in prayer. And you lose heart in prayer, and I can guarantee you, anxiety starts to take over. Always does. Always does. I know it from experience. So it says, be anxious for nothing, but, always love those words, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there's principle, there's a sermon in itself. So he says, in everything, in prayer, everything, not just some things, everything. Everything that you know, everything that comes to remembrance, everything that you are aware, you bring in an attitude of prayer to God. Wrong thoughts, you bring to God. Slip of the tongue, you bring to God. Not just when it, you know, you've done something really bad or committed the unpardonable sin. No, no. I'm talking about this attitude of prayer. Ready, wherever you are, behind the desk, behind the sink, or in the store with your basket, or wherever it would be. You're in that attitude of talking, communication. It's just prayer going on. It's a talking. It's a dialogue with God. God wants to get us to that place. He can do it. Only the Spirit can do it. You can't, but he can do it. You're talking with the Lord. He can do this. So this is what it means here. That in everything, in prayer and supplication. Yes, you can be in supplication. Yes, you can be out in the road, or you can beware of your neighbour next door, a need, start to supplicate. Or you're walking, going to work, and suddenly you've seen somebody destitute or down. Maybe it's not always wise to just go over them and preach the gospel. Maybe what God's saying, I want you just to lift that person now before me and just supplicate that I will remember them on that day. I can't tell you the times the Spirit's moved me, or when I've been up in London or wherever it is. I don't have the answer for them, but I know I can pray for them because God's put his Spirit within me. And out it comes, I start to find that just as I'm walking to the station or going to the underground, it's just coming out in the Spirit, supplicating, praying for that person. And I know God has heard that. Then somebody else will maybe move in later on and plant the seed. That's why, you see, we have to accept the fact. Some of us intercede in order for the seed to be sown. And then somebody comes along and then works on the reaping. That is how God does it. We all want the reaping. We all want to see the end results. That's what evangelism likes to boast on, a lot of it. Because it reaps it in, look what I have done. But those true converts that had been saved, that do come through, you've had somebody who's gone on their knees and probably spent time in the closet birthing that through. They don't get any of the looking, do they? See? But God sees. God knows. Never goes from his eyes. So I'm just simply saying to you, you may never be recognized, you may never be thanked, but you're supplicating, your prayers, you're being moved by the Spirit just to pray for that person, whatever it is, has brought about eternal life for them. And so, praying with supplication, with thanksgiving. Oh, God wants us to be a thankful people. We live in an age and generation where they're anything but. Everyone's griping and moaning and demanding what is their rights. You know? We have no rights in this world. Not as pilgrims. Whatever rights are graciously given to us is by the mercy of God. But we don't demand our rights. But God says, be thankful. Be thankful that you have life. You have clothes on your back. That he feeds you. Just be thankful. Be thankful for what he does. He loves a thankful heart, and a thankful heart, a saint who is thankful, you can pretty well guarantee they are also people who pray, who take prayer seriously. Let your requests be made known to God. Well, I used to get in a bit of bondage with that one, because I used to say, well, Lord, every time I come to you, there's always requests. And it's not what I necessarily want. It's just life seems to be like that. There's trials. Or there's problems. And I don't know anybody else to turn to except to you. And it seems I come every time with a request. But it's not what I want. I don't want to keep coming before you with a list. I just want to come before you because I want to come before you. That's what I've said to the Lord. But he knows. He knows the circumstances. He knows the life that we live. He knows my ministry. But that is not the motive of my heart. Never has been before God. Do you know why? Because I would never like people to treat me the same. And we do it at times. We just befriend that person, or we get on their good side because we know they can give us something. The whole motive is wrong. Now, you don't like that, do you? You don't like to be used, and we've all been used, and we've even done it as brothers and sisters, yet we do it to God. And yet at the same time, circumstances being like they are, a man's born into trouble and destitute, we have to come with those requests before God. So he knows, doesn't he? But what he wants from you is that you don't use him for that. That is the point. See? God is looking into motives. That is it. So don't lose heart, friend. You may feel, oh, I've just lost heart in prayer. I've just given prayer up. It's just, I don't know, it's a task in my Christian walk I can't cope with. I've got enough trials and tests that I'm going through without having to pray. But my friends, that is the key. That is the whole point. Is life becoming a huge burden? Are you going under? Well, this is the key to it. That is the point, you see. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know this one. Praying without ceasing. That's in the context of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Again, it's just in this attitude. That is in the mode. That is the gear you are in. A car has to go into a gear to be able to move. and it goes through a concession of gears to get to its right speed. And so spiritually it's the same with you. Now all you have to do is your free will pushes the gear stick into the gears and the Holy Spirit will take over. It's like it's automatic then after that. And he takes you into whatever speed and whatever gear the conditions and the day allows. So there's the attitude of just simply being in that attitude of prayer. Ready, you see. And of course you will be known by this. And you will find that people will come to you, oh, I value your prayers about this, you know, whatever. And the reason they're coming to you is because they know you to be a saint who prays. The only thing that I believe breaks this attitude, this heart, this desire to pray, really, at the end of the day, the only thing I know that breaks this, it has to be sin. It is a sin that's working, that's breaking this chain, this desire to pray. I can't see that it's anything else. What else can separate your prayer life other than sin? You could say unbelief. Well, unbelief is sin, but it is sin at the end of the day, and we have to address it as sin. We don't gloss it over. We don't change it. It is sin. And the Holy Spirit will work in this, and he works in the most impossible tasks. And as we bring this to conclusion now, I want us to go to something we know very well in the book of James. James, the book of James, chapter 5. James 5 and verse 17. James 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Elijah was like you. Praise God. So God gives us hope, doesn't he? Elijah, he at times lost heart. We know that because he ran away from Jezebel. He lost heart. And losing heart, fear comes in. Unbelief. You know? Sin. It was sin that made him run. Let's call it for what it is. It's sin that makes you run. You call it for what it is. You can call it ancestral problems. You can call it whatever you like. It may well be. But at the end of the day, what makes us run from God? S-I-N. And let's call it for what it is. Then we stand some hope. Elijah, we're told here, was a man with a nature like ours. And yet, in that weakness, the same things that he went through, you go through, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Because God was working something. God was judging the land of Israel. And so he worked that through. That is quite some prayer. To pray that there be no rain for 3 years. That is a prayer, all right, isn't it? And there was no rain. And so that is showing you that in your weakness, your prayers are being heard. That in weakness, you probably pray the most powerfulest prayers. Do you feel like praying? Some of you may say, Pastor, I am weak. Pastor, it is the last thing in the natural. I seem to be able to do or even want to do whatever. I've got news for you. Your prayers, if you turn to God and you desire and want to pray, your prayers are probably even more powerful. Just like Elijah, you see. So this shows that God is on the throne, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This shows that praying is a sovereign work. And we as a church must not lose heart in prayer. We are moving now to the next plateau. We are in the process of tremendous breakthroughs taking place in this assembly, and the enemy knows it. He knows it. And he's going to try and get you to lose heart with regard to prayer. This is not the hour. This is not the time. No, we'll have eternity when we can rest. But at the moment, we are in an army. We are in training. We are in warfare. We are in a battle. We're not up against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. The enemy is trying to abort this work. We know the dragon is very near to the woman who's ready to give birth to her child. God's allowed him to get that near, and God uses that in order for us not to completely go to sleep, but to continue marching, listening, applying, doing that which the Spirit wants us to hear. And the Spirit today wants us to hear is to not lose heart in prayer. And I have given to you, and there's of course a lot more in scriptures that speak about prayer, but I've given to you what I believe God has shown, those scriptures that show us we're not without any excuse. We have no excuse to bring before God, because you don't know my day, you don't know the demands of my job, you don't know what my family's like, and we can just go on and on and on. No, it will not stick before God, because I've shown you. I've shown you that those saints that pray, or Paul asking for prayer, or Elijah, whoever it would be, we're all in same situations, all battling the same problems, same doubts, enemy on their back, and so forth. But we don't lose heart in prayer. You may say to yourself, well, how do I live this? How do I apply? Because things are going to have to change in my life. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with change. We actually feed off change. We don't like change in the flesh, but once the change has taken place, once the Spirit has done it, then we realize the blessing is there. And what was all the fuss about? See, the enemy tries to stop us from changing. Of course your life is going to change. But the point is that you are beginning to apply the most powerful thing on the earth. Because changes take place through a church that prays. Do you want to see changes? Do you want to see breakthroughs, developments? Do you want to see these promises that God has fulfilled, the deeper life principles coming to pass? Of course you do. There'd be no point you coming here otherwise if you didn't want that. But the only way is that we keep with prayer. We press in, we persist, we do not take no for an answer. The persistent widow was not going to take no for an answer. Many saints that received healing in the word were not going to take no for an answer. Those that make it into the kingdom of God will not take no for an answer. Whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your background, you have to decide and settle it. I am not taking no for an answer. God will do the rest. God will keep you with it. God will work those affections, those desires within your heart. Even at times when you feel you're going under, you'll find the Spirit will be there to lift you, support you. He won't let you go under. Satan tells you that. But he will not. I think we heard it this morning in prophecy. He is faithful. He holds us in the palm of his hand. Now if we believe that, then that's going to make us a thankful people. A grateful people. And all he wants to do is acknowledge and hear that. He wants that brought before him. But do not give up in prayer. If you can't always get to the prayer meetings, find out what's going on. Find out what the Spirit is saying with regard to what we're praying through, or praying through for a season. Very often I find in our prayer meetings, it comes up each week for a season. And he shows us, you're going to have to press in for this. There has to be a birthing in for this. It's not just a one-off prayer time. It's a staying with it, staying with it, staying with it, till suddenly the burden, the anointing lifts. You've done it. You've done what the Spirit shows you. Many times he doesn't show us anymore, but we do what God shows us. And he's not going to show us anymore. Not at that time. And it may come months later, sometimes years later. It's being obedient, doing what the Spirit says. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, again, this morning we have been encouraged, we've been admonished. Yes, you rebuked us, but it's because you love us and you don't give up on us. And Lord, I pray that the word that we have heard and received today may be applied. Lord, we all know that at times we've come to the end of ourselves. We've become despondent, discouraged. That feeling, what is the point? What is the use? It's like going round and round and round in a circle. No end, no deliverance, no light at the end of the tunnel. But of course, that's exactly what Satan wants us to think and believe and confess. But Lord, our faith within us will say, we do not receive that. We do not accept those negative reports. But like the persistent widow, we will continue to knock and knock, because you have promised, you have said in your word. And so we hold on to that, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you will bring that change in our lives. For Lord, we want to go deeper with you. We do not want to remain where we are. We're very aware that there will always be that resistance, that fighting in the flesh. But the good news of that is is the cross. We willingly just take it up, and the cross will deal with that by the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray that we would be a church that will be praying. We will be a house of prayer for you, for your glory. And that we would not just respond just for a season because we've been admonished to, we've heard it in the word, but that this word we've heard today will be an everlasting principle working in our lives, both individually and corporately, week after week. Lord, please do this, we ask. And so I pray you'll bless us, preserve us, keep us, Father, till we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name.